Well, welcome to Sabbath Hour. I'm Brother Gregory, and I talk about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, same thing. And what is the kingdom of God? It's the right to be ruled by God. I was listening to the show just before this one, which is Dr. Pepper's show, and he talks about preparedness and gives a lot of the good advice, but he was talking about the government, quote-unquote, the government. And we always talk about it kind of like people talk about them. You know, who's them? Who's the government? And the fact is, as long as you think of someone else as being the government, you're in trouble. Because the way it should be, the way it was meant to be, was you're the government. You're the government of the people, for the people, and by the people. And that's not an idea that was created with the Constitution of the United States. The Constitution said the people create a body politic that governs us. And, of course, back then, it operated much different than it does today. And so most of the people, most of the events in your local community and in your society was governed by you. You were the government. You were responsible. You took care of health, education, and welfare. I remember Davy Crockett, when he was a congressman, he wrote about a particular incident where a local individual was not going to vote for Davy Crockett anymore. And Davy was kind of set back by this and wanted to know why. And he explained to him that he was not being loyal to the public trust. And he couldn't imagine what he had done to lose this man's trust. And so he questioned him. And he wanted to know. He wanted to hear. He wanted to hear what that man had to say. And that man explained, and we actually have the original article that tells about this, written by Davy Crockett, about this incident where he was no longer trusted. And one of the major complaints that the guy had was that there had been a fire in Washington, D.C. And it was a terrible fire. It burned up blocks of homes and apartments, and people fled the fire. It was so quick and fast they had to flee, often in their night clothes or no clothes, and they were lost everything. Their houses burned up, their clothes burned up, their furniture burned up, their food burned up, everything was gone. And they had nothing. And people started helping them. And the government was, which we're referring to as Congress and Senate in Washington, D.C., heard this story. They felt so bad about it, they voted to send relief. And the guy back in the hometown of Davy Crockett said, when you voted for that, you lost my confidence. That's not the purpose of government. The purpose of government is nothing like going out and providing charitable welfare for people. That's not its purpose. It's not listed in what was the Constitution, which was what created that government. That government was not created by a popular vote of the people. It was created by those who signed on to it, which were congressmen and senators of the individual states, who agreed to abide by the Constitution. And it was never put to a popular vote. Had it been put to a popular vote, it would have been voted down. But it was there. And now it was helping out these indigent people who had lost everything. Very worthwhile cause, but it's not the purpose of government. And Davy Crockett apologized. He apologized to the man, said that he was sorry he had done this. And there was a lot more to it. He explained his views of government. And finally he said that he would support Davy Crockett if Davy Crockett would, you know, come out and take that stand that he's not for that in the future. And he did. And the guy said, well, I'll put on a feast to gather all the community where you can speak to them, and I'll support you if you've really repented, so to speak. And Davy lists this off, this explains this whole chain of events, and the guy, Davy Crockett, offered to offer support to this feast, and the guy said, no, we are quite capable of putting on a feast or festival ourselves. We don't need any financial support. We will do it ourselves. And this is what made America great. People doing it themselves, taking care of the needs of society themselves, not looking to the quote-unquote the government. They looked to each other in community, and they did the job. And this all came up in the public eye because of the fact that a lady who is a widow who didn't get a pension because her husband died before he was eligible for full pension or whatever, and she was appealing to Congress to include her in a pension, and they were going to vote an additional fund just for this lady because she had this sob story. And Davy Crockett said, no, I can't vote for this. And he spoke up in Congress. I cannot vote for this. Because this is not the purpose. I have promised, and he explained the story of his promise to his constituency that he would not do that. He says, but this woman does have a need, and I will take money out of my pocket, not out of the pocket of the people, but out of my pocket and donate it to her needs. And if each gentleman in this assembly would do the same, she would be well taken care of. And that's what you needed. You need people helping people. But in that case, they did not vote to give her the money because it really isn't their money to give. That isn't the purpose of that government. That's the purpose of the government of the people, for the people, and by the people. They were to take care of that woman through their own charity and network. That's what she was asking for, is charity. Government is not charity. So I wasn't going to talk about this at all, except for the fact that I heard Dr. Prepper talking about the government and talked about giving them the door and that someday we will overcome. Well, we need to start overcoming right now, and that's overcoming our desire, our need to go to the government, quote-unquote, the government, this incorporate union of body politics, and say, we need from you, beg, pray, beseech you to take care of our needs. As long as you look to government to solve your problems, you will always suffer tyranny. You will not be a free people. You have to start doing it yourself. And this was the message of Christ. And if you look at what the early church was doing, the history of the early church, it was gathering together in tens, hundreds, and thousands, which is where you get the word deacon. It's actually, dechen is the word for ten. But if you go over into the Greek, it's diakonos. And diakonos is the word for servant. And, of course, up until that time, a great many governments, from the Teutons to early Israel to early Rome, 10 families picked a public servant, a minister, to take care of their needs, this priest. Your priest was not somebody who stood between you and God. He was someone who was a man of service, not a ruler, not a theologian. He was a man of charity and virtue, a man you could trust. Look out amongst yourselves and pick men you trust. These were men you could trust. And you would give him funds to make sure the widows and orphans of your community were taken care of. You didn't need military pensions. You were all in the military. You were all going to take care of the widows of your buddies and your brothers in arms. You were all going to take care of members of your community that had cast their bread upon the waters when you needed help or when your cousin needed help. And this builds virtue in a community, and it builds freedom in a society. And if you don't do that, all the preparations you do are going to be to no avail. All the beans and ammo and whatever it is that you think you're going to need for that time of emergency will not be enough. You need to come together and find other men of virtue, other women of virtue, other men of honor, other men of charity, and come together in a community. And you can start that right now, and it doesn't cost you anything but a little seeking. Seeking the kingdom of God, other men who want to be ruled by God, want to be ruled by virtue, want to be ruled by character. This morning's show on Liberty Radio Live and on Blog Talk before that, we talked about cults. Now, what we're preaching, I've just gone over in a nutshell. We're preaching, seek the kingdom of God, which is this network of people who care about each other as much as they care about themselves, who and the righteousness of God. So therefore, they also think about righteousness. They think about law, judgment, mercy, and faith, the weightier matters of Christ. And that's the kingdom of God. That's where you don't make any covenants with anybody else that makes you a subject. You know, the greatest destroyers of freedom are the givers of gifts, gratuities, and benefits, and therefore you don't apply for benefits from anybody who exercises authority one over the other, because Christ said it was not to be that way with you. Said it in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You're not to pray to men who call themselves benefactors. You're not to make the state your father. You are the state. You are the government. Now you have to start acting like the government. You have to start taking care of one another. And you have to do that on a local basis. Otherwise, you don't know. Someone was just talking before the show. They were talking about unemployment. The number of people that collect unemployment every year, because it's written into the business plan of the business. You work 9 months, things slow down, they lay you off for 3 months, and you go to Hawaii on unemployment. You go fishing on unemployment. Some guys do odd jobs for cash while they're on unemployment. It's all robbery. It's all theft. It's all beyond the purposes of that institution of unemployment. Unemployment was to protect those people who were suddenly laid off and destituted, and the ones who were supposed to be paying in is the employers, because they have the benefit of your employment. So they set aside some money to take care of you if they suddenly have to lay you off. And the government makes that a law because you don't have the self-discipline to do it yourself. And now you don't need the self-discipline to do it yourself because the government's going to do it for you. And you wonder why you don't have rights. You wonder why you're back in bondage. You wonder why you're subject. Because you haven't taken back your responsibilities. And this is a common characteristic in mankind. To look to other men to provide for them. Go to a doctor. He's supposed to know all about the body, all about health. Whatever he says, you do. Put this in your mouth. Take this injection. Breathe this in. Breathe this out. And you do it because he's a doctor. You give him power because he has a white coat and a diploma on the wall. You have to be responsible. You have to say, why do I take this? What's it going to do? What are we treating here? How does this disease work? And learn about it. Because your motivation is health. His motivation is money. And even if it isn't, even if he's a decent guy, the people he goes to for information are the pharmaceutical industry, and their motivation is money. That is their bottom line. They have a business plan. Sell more drugs. Make more money. That spirit's going to reap a certain kind of reward. So you listen to the doctor. You listen to the lawyer. You listen to the politician. He's going to save us. He's going to be our salvation. He's going to be our solution. Vote for this guy. Vote for that guy. So what if they do something different every single time from what they say they're going to do? Why are you continually doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result? Why don't you try to do something completely different? Something that actually has historical evidence of working for those who work at it, which is seek the kingdom. This is why Christians were persecuted. They were doing something else. They actually were spending their extra time figuring out how they could help each other. Their motivation was not profit. Their motivation was love. And they came up with different solutions. They came up with different remedies for problems, different kinds of remedies, because they approached them with a different kind of spirit. Not the spirit to rule over their neighbor, but to be actually of service to their neighbor. Not to weaken them with welfare, but to strengthen them with wisdom. You need to find as many people that have that same kind of spirit and start cultivating it in those people and in your children and in their children. You can't wait for the day you're going to give the government the boot. You have to give your need for the government the boot today and turn around and go another way. And like I said, we talked about cults this morning and the nature of cults. And I was getting into the top 10 cults, and I kind of went through some of them as we were talking. And but the actual top 10 cults, if we, according to at least one list, at the bottom of the list is the Unification Church. That's the Moonies. Huge, wealthy organization, all centered around one fella who's got a huge, giant estate, hideaway estate, his refuge from what they think is coming. They think bad things are coming, so they built this refuge down in South America. And guess who their neighbor is? George W. Bush, who, with a consortium of other men, have bought a huge, gigantic tract of land and turned it into a nature conservancy. It happens to sit on the largest untouched water aquifer. And they're filing on all that water, and actually they've been strangling out the small peasants so that they control that water. And they've put U.S. military bases down there. And they're using your money to make their bunkers. And you sit there. And now you're going to vote somebody else in. Like that's going to change something. You go way back to William O. Douglas, Supreme Court Justice, who said, it doesn't matter who you're electing. That's not who runs this country. It's this vast bureaucracy that runs it. So anyway, second one is Branch Davidians. Well, they're not really a problem anymore. You actually never would have even heard of the Branch Davidians, probably. They were a little tiny sector or group. But actually, the fact is they did some deals with the BATF and hid away some guns. They had at least two agents working in there when their raid took place. I mean, the whole raid was called the Trojan Horse. That's because they already had two agents on the inside, both of whom survived miraculously. Although one of them, who married one of the Branch Davidians and had a child there, his wife and child died. But he was getting paid under the table by the government. And not that I approve of the Branch Davidians or Koresh. The fact is they were making Koresh a powerful individual in their small little group. He was a cult leader by many definitions. He wasn't totally evil, but neither was Saul. But the people elected him and gave him power, and the power corrupted him. And in these little tiny groups, even if it's a home church, you can give too much power to a strong personality and corrupt him. These examples, Heaven's Gate, you know, 21 women, 18 men voluntarily committed suicide. Some of the men voluntarily castrated themselves before that. What are they thinking? The Order of the Solar Temple, this Joseph Mambro, France, they had all kinds of people committed a mass suicide. People gave him millions and millions of dollars. He is a total wacko, in my opinion. But people begin to listen to him and they lose all objective thinking. There's still anywhere between around 150 to 500 members, even after the mass suicide. Remember, they can't let go. They're addicted to this idea. And then they go on Scientology, you know, started by L. Ron Hubbard, you know, back in 1952, which was just an outgrowth of his earlier self-help Dianetics books. But it's taken on a life of its own. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, it's not a cult. But then there's the Raelism, which is actually kind of a mix of church and UFOs and everything. But again, the massing of fortune, Claude's massing of fortune, but he also is very, very... a big advocate of free love. always watch out for that when you're dealing with cults. And they actually have organizations called the Order of Angels and Rails Girls. But they have some 65,000 members. And what's going on? Huge amounts of money involved in these things. Movement for the Restoration of the Ten Commandments. That was really an odd group. It's in Uganda. But it's number four on the list. And it ended up killing at least 800 to 1,000 people. They found graves. There were also mass suicides. But there were actually murders if you tried to leave the group. And they're very... Totally, you know, where does all these murders come from if they're in the Restoration of the Ten Commandments? But objective thinking is gone in these groups. And we talked a little bit about that. They're also the guys who made sarin gas in Japan. And, of course, number two is the Mansa family, which I think is really, you know, a little tiny group. But they got it as number two on the list of notorious cults. But Manson, you know, his mother was unwed, 16-year-old girl who actually sold him once for beer, money for beer. And, you know, he was passed around and everything. And, of course, when he first began his group, what did he call it? The family. Why? Because he never had a family. He was warped from the beginning. Not to excuse any of that, but we're all a little warped. We've all... gone away from the family of society, and we've gone to the family of government. And now we can't imagine living by a family of society, bound by nothing but virtue and love and honor and righteousness in the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. We just had a discussion not too long ago about Israel when it went into Canaan. We always get the idea they marched in and just killed everybody. Archaeologists are proving that they didn't just go in and kill everybody. That there was a change. There was an altering of that society, which was racked with parasites at that time, most of which were transmitted through pigs, which was the common part of their diet. And suddenly they see all across that society in that area, the excavations show pig bones disappeared. Waterfowl bones disappeared, which were also raised by the people. And they say this was not done by violence. Most of the people that were dying, that were racked with these diseases, were not dying of violent death, not hack marks and sword marks. They simply died out, and a new people were there. Now, some of the same indigenous genetically people were still there, but now they were living like the Israelites, not eating pork, burying their feces, preventing the parasites that had devastated their society. This is just hygiene. These are the rules that he brought in there. They had to have a little spoon on the back of the bottom of their sword hilts to dig their latrines. They had to bury their feces. And why? Because it was spreading disease. It's just common sense. It's not mystical. It's common sense. Pork is a big carrier. Uncooked pork in a desert climate where firewood is hard to find. Unrefrigeration where you kill a pig, everybody eats pig. Right away, often before it's fully cooked, and they're not washing their hands, they live in a desert. Everybody had parasites, and there was no way to stop it, except stop eating pork. Stop eating it, stop raising it, stop having it defecate in the streets, start wearing sandals, start burying your feces. Lo and behold, a healthier society. And why? Because Moses actually loved the people. He wanted them to be free. He didn't want to rule over them. He was tempted at times, but he was a pretty good guy. Jesus didn't want to rule over you. He wanted you to learn to rule over yourselves. He wanted you to seek the kingdom so only God is ruling over you. He didn't want you making covenants and contracts, praying to men who call themselves Father, praying to Caesar for benefits. He wanted you to start taking care of each other, and that's what the church was instituted to do. Feed my sheep. But not by exercising authority, but by faith, hope, and charity. That's what you need to do. You need to start going to a real church. And if your church is not a real church, form a real church. Start networking with other people that are doing the same. That is your best survival plan, is to learn how to serve one another. And anyway, this idea of cults, we talked this morning about 10 warning signs of potential unsafe groups and leaders. And you need to know these, even though I actually don't fit when we looked at the 10 signs for a safe group, we had every single one of them. I mean, we are absolutely the opposite of a cult by any definition. And you just have to go back and listen to those programs to see if you do all, because we won't have time on this show. We'll touch on a few of them. But you need to know those warning signs, because even in a home church, small little home church, small little group, you can have characteristics of that cult. And that's what we're going to talk about when we return to the Sabbath Hour after a few words from our sponsor, if Cheryl's still with us. Are you there, Cheryl?
I am, yes. Thank you.
So I'll turn it over to you for the commercial break. It's not quite, we're getting right up on it, but we got to get her in there.
When you find a place that you need to break, that's perfect. Any time is good for me. So
okay.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to Freedomizer Radio. Join us there at freedomizerradio.com in the chat room. And if you'd like to call in and talk with Brother Gregory, comments or questions, our phone number is 347-324-3704. And we'll be back for this brief commercial message. Okay, take it away, Brother Gregory.
Okay. I'll give a few announcements. We have a Burning Bush Festival out here September 29th. There's actually people showing up as early as July to start getting ready for it. We're looking for talent, people who can sing, people who can teach, people who can share, people who care about others as much as they care about themselves or want to learn what that means. And we're inviting everybody to come, and the charge is $500 per person. No, I'm kidding you. There's no charge. Don't charge anything. There's actually a coyote festival down south of here, a short distance away at what they call the Summer Lake Hot Springs. I just heard about it this morning. And they got bands playing there and everything. But it's, I think it's $100 a person to go to that for the weekend. But we don't charge anything, and it's a festival, and so you got to come and be the entertainment. Just like I say, you got to be the government, you got to be the entertainment, and there's a lot of talented people out there. We got people coming from a lot of different places, but I don't really have a good list of the talent that's coming, and hopefully we can start putting that together. And if you think you want to come for a day, for a weekend, for the whole week, for two weekends, you want to come early, you want to leave late, just let us know. Get in touch with us on the Living Network at HisHolyChurch.org, and join the network in your area. And there'll be people that contact you, and there'll be, you know, if you want. If you don't want to be contacted, just join and sit there and watch for emails. But you're not going to get very far that way. So if you want to be a part of that, let's start getting our act together. We're already building some of the facilities. We've got 1,000 acres. You can wander around. Actually, we can wander around a lot more than that. There's lake out here. There's river out here. There's boating. There's fishing. All that. And no charges for anything. But you got to be it. You got to make it happen. You got to be the guys who put it all together. And we've got a lot of people started on that, but we're always looking for more volunteers. And you don't have to do a lot. You can do a little bit. Spread the word. Share the information with other people. There are people carpooling, what have you. So keep that in mind. If you want to be a part of that, join the network at HisHolyChurch.org, the little guy with the net. Join up in your local area, and you don't have to go to any meetings or anything. If you want to talk to somebody on the phone, you can give them your phone number. There's contact ministers. We keep your identity as private as you want to keep it. You got to make contact somehow and look out amongst yourself and start finding men you feel you can trust and start doing things together to find out if you really can trust them. But anyway, back to this idea of cults, and actually where we're really going with this is the largest cult in the world is the United Nations. The most powerful military cult in the world is the United States, probably. All these governments are cults, and they fit that criteria of a cult, very much so. I mean, you're always voting in some charismatic leader, et cetera, and basically we talked this morning about the word cult means to cultivate or to till. And there were two brothers at the beginning of mankind. One was Abel, who was a shepherd. Sheep learned to follow the shepherd because they trust him. And the other one was a tiller of the soil. And actually the word soil there is not the regular word for dirt. It's the word Adama, which is what man is made out of. Man is Adama. And he was a tiller of man, a tiller of Adama. And what that meant was he was cultivating people. He was creating loyalties. He was creating a city-state. He was called Enoch or Enosh. And that was the first government where he was the government and you weren't. You were the human resources that kept his government running. And this went on with Lamech and it went on with Nimrod and eventually turned into Caesar and pharaohs and what have you, and that's where you're at. Again, you're back as a member of another cultivator, another cult, another place where your leader can do no wrong, but he can beat the heck out of you if you don't do what he says is right, because he is the one who decides good and evil. He gives you the illusion that you have some sort of input by things he calls democracy, but it really is an illusion, and it's a strong delusion, and everybody is under it. The only way to be free is to free your neighbor from your democracy by learning to come together with those people who will come together in a virtuous community. Only way to do it. I repeat it. The only way to do it. Okay, so we got that. Back to this idea of the 10 warning signs of potential unsafe group leaders. And we went over all this morning, but we'll sum it up so you guys have to follow real close. But you can always listen to the recording again. The characteristic of authoritarianism. You know, your pastor can be an authoritarian. This is what the Bible says. This is the way you interpret it. This is the doctrine you must have. And immediately, if you're in that kind of a relationship, you got the wrong pastor. When he says, this is what I see. This is what I believe. This is where I stand. This is what, you know, show me if I'm wrong. Different spirit, different attitude. This is what I've discovered. This is what I believe. I'm laying my cards on the table. What do you think? He respects your opinion. He looks to your opinion. So second characteristic is no tolerance for questions. And I just went over that. He does have a tolerance for questions. He encourages questions. No meaningful financial disclosure. No meaningful disclosure of what he's doing. Very important. He needs to have full disclosure. He is answerable to you. I mean, you can't boss your minister around, but if you give him funds to take care of the needy, he should be able to report to you that that's what he used them for. And so you need to have, and that's one of the things we make clear, and we base this all on what the early church was doing, which most people haven't got a clue what the early church was doing. And it's really what the Teutons were doing, what the early Israel was doing. And they were forming a society bound by faith, hope, and charity, by honor, by righteousness. Another thing, no legitimate reason to leave. You should be able to come and go at will. You are not bound by anything. You shouldn't be a follower. You shouldn't even be a member. It's a free assembly, come and go at will, and never be put down because you decide to leave. Yeah, that's another characteristic of a cult leader, that he's going to put you down, that you're not good enough, that you're never good enough. Group leader is not always right. He's a foot washer. He is a servant. He needs to come with that attitude. He may have strong opinions, but he is not going to browbeat you. He is not going to humiliate you. He will speak up. He may rebuke. But you're men and women. You should be able to discuss these things openly. It also talks about the characteristics in the members, that whether they're obsessive or they have an obsession about their group. There becomes a blurring, fusing of leader and God. He is the authority. He is the man of God. And we are what? You're all supposed to be men of God. You're all supposed to be children of God. And everybody should have the right to speak up accordingly and have an opinion and work out your salvation with fear and trembling, and not fear and trembling of your leaders, fear and trembling of God alone. He should be willing to be criticized and should not be calling it persecution. You know, make my day. Tell me what you think. You know, you got a call-in number there. Give me a jingle. A loss of sense of humor is one thing. Program conversation, where everybody begins to start to sound alike. You all have to dress alike. Those kinds of things. Dependency upon the group. Your group should always be working for your individual independence. Hyperactivity. You know, they get all excited and worked up, and well, it's fine to get worked up a little bit, but that isn't what's drawing you. This feeling of excitement. It's righteousness. Seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what we should be seeking. Dramatic loss of spontaneity and sense of humor. You should not lose your individuality in the group. And these things can go a little bit at a time. Don't imagine them only in the extreme cases of the Manson family. Imagine them, little hints of them creeping in, because that's how it comes in. It talks about that, creeping in and leading people away. So be on your guard for that. And also, they want you to avoid contact with anybody else. Well, obviously, if you're an alcoholic, we don't want you hanging out with a bunch of other alcoholics. If you're a druggie, been a druggie in the past, you may have to break off those relationships. But we don't want you breaking off relationships with your family or your former friends and everything. Chances are, the more truth you know, the more likely they will break off from you. And basically what we're talking about is this concept of sociopaths. These leaders are what they call sociopaths. This is what's drawn to any group where you give the leader power. He becomes a sociopath, and you draw other sociopaths to be your next leader. Men like Rehoboam and the followers of Rehoboam were getting into the area of sociopaths. I mean, David even went that way. Killed 20,000 of his own people because he tried to institute a draft, and they said no draft. Even though they were warned way back with Samuel that if you elect a leader, he's going to institute a draft, he's going to take your sons, he's going to take your daughters. That's what they're talking about. They tell you. So if there is any way that they can draft your sons and daughters in the government where you live, you have rejected God and gone into a system exactly what Samuel was talking about. If they can take the first fruits of your labor, you have rejected God somewhere along the line, either you or your parents, and brought you back into the bondage of Egypt. If they own everything and you only have permission to own land by government suffrage, if that's the government where you live, you have rejected God and this is where you're at. And now when you cry out to God, he will not hear you. But if you repent and turn around, and go back to that government of God, where you are a government of the people, for the people, and by the people, bound together by virtue and mutual love, you've got a chance, because you will have God watching your back. And when you're down there on the shores of the Red Sea and the armies of the Pharaohs come to persecute you, there'll be a fiery block between them in you, or the ground will open up and swallow them up, every one of them. Maybe not every one of them. You might spare a few. But the fact is, this is the nature of freedom, is to set others free from your own greed, your own covetousness, your own desire to rule over your neighbor. Because, see, that's what the sociopath appeals to. He appeals to the sociopath in you. What is a sociopath? He's usually charming, but that's the sociopath leader is usually charming. sociopath leader is usually more intense. Sociopath leader is incapable of feeling shame, guilt, or remorse, although he can feign that, you know, with crocodile tears. Sociopaths invent outrageous lies about their own experience. And you have to be careful about guys who tell you all the, oh, he did this, oh, he did that, and you can't verify it or don't even try to verify it. And the gullibility of people that is one of the things I've noticed over the last half century. I've just been astounded that somebody says something absolutely outlandish with no proof whatsoever, and people believe them. You know, it's like Hitler, the more outlandish the lie, the more likely it is that they will believe it. Sociopaths tend to be highly intelligent, at least their leaders are, and they learn to use that intelligence and brain power to deceive and manipulate and control people. They also are self-serving. They will humiliate people, put them down. They will put them up on a pedestal, and then they will put them down. Hero to zero, up and down. Keep you off balance. So you never know, and you're always on pins and needles, oh, I want to please the leader. No, you want to please God. You want to seek righteousness. Stop seeking leaders to rule over your mind and your actions. And we all do it a little bit. Since we were little kids, we reached up to hold our dad's hand or our mom's hand. And we look for that security. And then we get tossed out in the world and we're still looking for that security. Who's my daddy? Well, you certainly don't want it to be the government. You don't want it to be anybody. You don't want it to be your pastor. Call no man father. That's a principle. Now, in fact, we show in the article and in the booklet, Call No Man Father, that that's exactly what the whole society has done. They made the government their father. When they want to get married, they go ask permission of the government to get married. Everything is by permission, and of course they tithe to the government. They're a lot more than tithe. They tithe and tithe and tithe. They'll take the first fruits of your and the best of your fields and their sons and daughters and all this because you have the voice of the people as they decided to elect a leader who can exercise authority. Now, if you want to keep voting, go ahead, keep voting. I'm not telling you not to. I'm telling you what I am sent to tell you in my own heart is to repent and seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that looks like something. That is a way in which to govern yourself. Set your neighbors free. I'm not going to appeal to men who can kick in your door and force you to contribute to my welfare anymore. I will pay my taxes, but I'm going to seek my benefits from those who will live by faith, hope, and charity alone. It is that simple, but not so easy to do. You have to try. You have to work out. You have to, what did Jesus say? Believe? No, he said strive. Are many saved or few? He didn't answer. He said, strive. Doesn't sound like just sit back and believe. Sounds like strive. Seek. Those are do words. Love. Care. Feed. Those are do words. Not those who say, Lord, Lord, I believe, but those who say and do the will of the Father. That's more important. Even more important, he didn't say and do. He said, those who do it the will of the Father. And many people who don't even think they're religious are closer to the kingdom than those who go to church every Sunday or Sabbath. And that's very unfortunate. So the sociopath is self-serving, and many people go to church for the feeling they get. It makes them feel good. That's self-serving, folks. Now, you're not going to be the sociopath leader with that attitude, but you're going to end up with a sociopath leader. And he's going to control you and manipulate you because he can make you feel good. And he'll make you feel good. And then if you buck him at all, he'll make you feel bad. And then you'll go back like a whip puppy, and he'll make you feel good again. And then he'll make you feel bad, and he'll control you. And this is how they do it. This is how those sociopaths gain control over these people. They keep them off balance, off center, not awake. Subjective. Sociopaths can be very poetic. This morning during the two-hour show, I was actually fumbling around a little bit for words. A lot of uhs in there. But I was trying to get over the notes. It seems to be coming out pretty quick here. We're clipping along pretty good. maybe because I had all that practice on the morning show. But Moses was slow of speech. Maybe he stuttered, whatever that meant, but it was slow of speech. He wasn't the great orator. Beware of the orator. The smooth talker. Satan's a smooth talker. So beware of that. That's not automatic, but look for these other characteristics. Sociopaths are generally delusional, but so are all the people that follow them. And again, we're talking about sociopath leaders. They're the ones that are obvious, but the fact is, a kind man appeals to the con and larceny in your own heart. That's how he wins the con. And a sociopath does the same thing, always holding out the promise that you will be one of the elect. You will be his second in command or third in command or a part of the inner elite. The kingdom of God is grassroots. It depends on the elders of each congregation. They are what they call presbyters in the Greek, heads of families. There's no board of directors. There's a, you direct yourself. You govern yourself. And you walk with other men who want to do the same in a free assembly, bound only by faith, hope, and charity. And the instrument of your government is the man you look out and amongst yourselves and find and trust. He isn't the theologian. He's the foot washer. He isn't the doctrinal student of the Bible. He is a liver of righteousness. He is a man of honor, a man of his word, a diligent servant, a compassionate individual, a humble soul who is willing to say, you know, if I got this wrong, you show me, please, because I don't want to be wrong. I want to be right. I believe I'm right. I believe I found something. But if you see something I haven't seen, speak up. Rebuke me. Tell me. That is what you're looking for. And if you find that, you'll find a safe group to be in. But it's never safe. You always must be on your guard. You always must be protecting yourself and your family, because this creeps in any generation, and in half a generation it can start creeping in. It is very clever, very subtle. So whether you're a home church or a mega church, you have to watch out for these elements. And beware of the crocodile tears. They will look, oh, they're, you know, they got the pudding hands, and they, oh, they're so sweet, and oh, they're so loving. And, you know, somebody, was it on this show? I don't know, I do so many shows. They called in and asked about Reverend Dollar, who, can't remember his first name, or I'd call him by his first name, but anyway, and I guess he's been having trouble with the, is it probably the IRS, I would assume. He's not riding into town on an ass like Jesus Christ. He's got a Mercedes. He's got jets. He's got fancy homes and $100,000 rings. I shouldn't have to discuss. That doesn't sound like a man like Christ. Christ was rich. Most people don't realize that Christ came from one of the richest families in the Roman Empire. His uncle was one of the richest men in the entire empire. Had land holdings all over the Roman Empire. Extremely wealthy. Joseph was no pauper. He was like a master contractor. He had all kinds of people working for him. He wasn't even a carpenter. He was actually a stonemason. Built huge buildings and responsible for building them in Egypt, as well as in Caesarea. Had lots of money. But Jesus, though he was rich, this is what the Bible says, though he was rich, he made himself poor. So this idea that he was poor, humble carpenter, family, no. He was wealthy, and he gave it up, because he knew to give up your life for righteousness, for God's sake, for those who seek the righteousness of God, you will have life more abundant. But if you're going to continually suck the life out of your neighbor through the thing you call a government that provides you with benefits, then you will have less life. You need to repent. You need to turn around. You need to go the other way. And that other way is to gather together with other people. Now, our voice doesn't go out to a lot of people on Freedomizer. I don't know how many people listen to the show, but the same with Liberty Radio Live. One of our contact ministers was on RBN this morning also, and that's what we need to do is have more and more people who understand this getting out in their own way. I can't be on the radio for much more than 4 or 5 hours a day, and I get pretty wore out. At least my voice does. But if you start working together, coming together, saying, what can I do for others? Then God will do for you, because you're coming in the nature of God. God isn't self-serving. You shouldn't be self-serving either. If you're made in the image of God, you wouldn't be self-serving. You wouldn't be thinking about yourself. You would be thinking about others. You'd be giving life to others. You would be giving opportunities of others to live. Instead, we've created a society where they kill millions of people. How many millions of people, unborn children, Iraqis, Afghanis, go to, you know, all the way back to Pol Pot or Soviet Union. And there are Holocausts going on right now all over. The DU, how many people are going to die from that? Agonizing, cancerous, deformed death. And nobody's doing hardly anything about it. Few people are outspoken about it. But most people don't even know. They know what's coming in Netflix. They know what's on the, you know, sports channel. But they don't care about it. And the fact is, we can't change that. But we can look for those people who want to be changed, who want to live a different life, who want to live a life of righteousness. And the key is, you got to start somewhere. You got to reach out and start seeking others. And most of the people that you probably find in that process will not be righteous people. Some of them will repent along the way. Some of them will go another way. But you have to look. You have to strive. You have to seek. If you don't, you will not be ruled by God. You will be ruled by the small g gods of this world. And as sociopaths, how many of those cults ended up leading people to suicide? How many of them led their own people to destruction? And this is the nature of sociopaths. When they feel they're losing power over you, they would rather see you dead than fled. And that is where society is going. But I don't want you to repent out of fear. I want you to repent out of righteousness and do something completely different. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness by coming together in righteousness and learning to govern yourselves by faith, hope, and charity. And my headset just fell off. As I lean forward to look at the clock, that says 3:59. So we've come to the end of another program, Cheryl.
Oh, my gosh. It's always going by so fast. Well, thank you very much. We really appreciate you being here.
I'm glad to be here.
All right. Well, thank you again. And thank you all for joining us here today at freedomizerradio.com. So take care, Brother Gregory, and we'll see you again next week.
Okay. Oh, actually, you won't see me next week.
Oh, that's right. Next week. Next week's 23rd. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Okay, well,
2 weeks, you'll see me again. All right.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.